Rocking. Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Oh, thank you so much for being here, and I am so excited to talk with you guys today, to have this opportunity to share with you what I feel like God's been laying on my heart and laying on my heart for you guys as well, because I think that he wants to bless you this morning, and that's why we're here, right? You know, because we want God to speak into our lives. We want him to change our hearts, and that's why we're here. So thank you so much, and just another thank you. I want to thank my family, which is like pretty much half the audience right now. I'm one of seven kids. They drove here from Midland today. And my mom, dad, my brothers and sisters, and my girlfriend Heather and her whole family are here, my aunt and uncle. It's awesome. It's nice to have some people out there, you know what I'm saying? When I was thinking about the message this week, since I would not consider myself an expert sermon giver. And so I called my dad, who's a Vineyard pastor as well. He's associate pastor at a church in Midland. So we're the Eastside Vineyard, they're the Midland Vineyard. And I was like, okay, Dad, I want to talk about grace and peace. And but here's the thing, I don't have any crazy stories because, you know, people always come up here and be like, man, this week someone like punched my mom, and I was like, grace and peace to you. You know what I mean? And they're like, oh, that's so inspiring. And I was like, Dad, I don't have any crazy stories. And I feel like I'm also a pretty peaceful and pretty gracious person. So do I have to be a huge fail at this to preach about it? And he said, no. So that's good. And I know all of you guys are like, you know, Joe, I'm pretty gracious and peaceful too. Like, that's exactly what people think of when they think of me. So this week I was praying, and I was like, God, you know, I'm getting started with this talk, and it's Monday, and I'm just open for you giving me an experience where I can show grace to people. You know, like, just give me something big so I can be inspiring on Sunday. And I'm like, you know, if someone wants to steal my life savings or, you know, like, beat me up or something like that, so I can be like, I'm Jesus, you know what I mean? Like, he's living inside of me. Grace and peace to you. So you're not going to believe this. I'm at Costco, which is my girlfriend's parents' favorite store. Car insurance from Costco, food from Costco. You guys probably live at Costco too. But so I'm there. I'm pulling out of the parking lot, and you're not going to believe this. Someone just smashes into the front end of my car. I'm like, this is it. This is the moment. I'm just kidding. That totally didn't happen. Totally didn't happen. Nothing like huge happened this week, but I was ready for it. You know what I mean? Like, I was like ready to be graceful, So that's kind of a silly example. One that you might be able to identify with. Guys might be able to track with me. Girls, you might be able to hop on the bus too here. But Friday night, I was going to go on a wonderful date with my girlfriend Heather, and we had decided that we were going to go out to eat. And so I showed up at her house, but her mom had ordered pizza. And I was like, that pizza smells real good. And so I was like, can I have a piece of that pizza, Denise? So I had a piece of pizza, and then I had a couple more, and Heather came down, and I was like, Heather, there's already food here. Maybe we could have pizza tonight and stay. And of course, Heather, because she's wonderful and gracious, she's like, that's fine. But the guys here are like, that totally makes sense. Like, why wouldn't you have pizza if it's right there? Why would you go out to eat? But the girls are like, yeah, you probably should have taken her out on a date. But I just wasn't tracking with that, you know? So had my eyes kind of open there. Definitely learned. Do you guys know what I'm saying? Are you kind of tracking with me here? Wonderful. But Monday was my prep day, and I was like, I'm going to hit this hard today. God, I'm so excited for what you're going to speak through me on Sunday. And it was the worst day ever because I was thinking, does Dan go through this every time he starts a sermon? Because I was annoyed, and then I was irritated, and then I was angry, and then I was really excited, and then I was annoyed and irritated and angry. And tell me if you guys have done this before, where you're like, all right, God, you're a God of peace. Isaiah 26:3, is that on the screen? You'll keep in perfect peace those who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. I'm like, eyes fixed on Jesus, thoughts fixed on Jesus, and his peace just transcended my heart. I was like, oh, thank you, God. And that didn't happen either, because have you ever done that before? You're like, oh, I'm so mad, and you're like, I just need to pray. And then you get done praying, you're like, I'm still mad. I'm still mad. I'm still angry. I'm still annoyed. And you're thinking about that, and you're like, okay, so God's peace is there. I know it's there, but I'm not feeling it right now. And so that's kind of what we're talking about today. And you know, we all have this need to feel grace. My sister Robin just came back from Italy, and she went there with a mutual friend of ours. And before I came to Eastside, I was leading worship at a campus ministry, and we would have auditions for the worship team. And she had auditioned, and I didn't follow up with her. I don't know if any of you guys have been in that situation before. You're like, I'll get back to you. And you don't get back to them. And it just kind of slips your mind. Or maybe you're in that situation today and you're like, yeah, totally been there. There's someone in this room right now who's supposed to be getting back to me and they're not. You know? And so anyways, my guess was that her audition was kind of like a little shaky. And so I was probably like, don't want to deal with this right now. Call you later. And I didn't. I didn't call her. And I did not follow up with her. And it totally slipped my mind. And Robin told me about it. She's like, yeah, I'm not really, she doesn't really like go to his house anymore. And, you know, she didn't make it on the worship team. And Joe didn't get back to me. And I was like, oh, I totally didn't mean to do that. You know, I like, oh, I hope that she can have some grace with me because I didn't mean to do it. And we're talking about grace and peace today because it's a huge theme in the Bible. I don't know if you guys have recognized this, but in pretty much every letter in the New Testament, Paul and Peter are like, grace and peace to you, grace and peace to you. And if they were to write to our church, they'd be saying the same thing, right? So take a look at a couple of these verses. May God give you more and more grace and peace, Romans 1:7. And then the next one, may God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, give you grace and peace, 1 Corinthians 1:3. Next one, may God our Father and Lord Jesus give you grace and peace, Galatians 1:3. Ephesians 1:2, may God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Do we have another one? Awesome. May God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace, 2 Thessalonians 1:2. That's the second letter he wrote to the Thessalonians. And he wrote the same thing the first time. It's weird because, like, Paul and Peter, when they're writing these letters, they're not wasting ink. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I write a letter, I'm like, hey, what's up? How you doing? They're like, hey, heard you guys are still having issues with each other. Grace and peace. Hey, I heard you guys are having some problems in your church. Grace and peace to you guys. Hey, I heard you're having some issues with your family. Grace and peace to you guys. And that's what he's getting across there. So our text today is from 1 Peter 1:2. I'm going to read this to you guys. It's going to be on the screen if you want to follow along. This is 1 Peter 1:2. It says, God the Father knew you, and he chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Now, this theme of grace and peace is supposed to be something that defines you. And you might be here saying, like, absolutely. Yeah, when people think of Dave Ursulino, they think, man, Dave Ursulino is so gracious and peaceful. Or someone's thinking of Jack Malloy, and they're like, yeah, Jack, he's like grace man, you know, like the peacemaker. But these are supposed to be defining characteristics in your life. And so if people don't think grace when they think Tommy, and people don't think peace when they think Jody Versalino, it's an issue because Paul and Peter are like, you need to have more and more grace and peace. This is something that's supposed to be multiplying in your life. You might have a version that says, I pray that you would have grace and peace more and more. I pray that you would have grace and peace that multiplies. So this is something that we should be growing in because maybe you have someone in your life that's irritating. Yes. Amen to that, Loretta. Amen to that. Maybe you have someone in your life that's irritating. You have someone in your life, they just drain your energy. You know, you have someone in your life, you have a coworker at work, and they are always on your case, and you're like, please. Does anyone know what I'm saying? Amen. All right, awesome. Amen. Could be your brother. Could be your brother. Could be your sister. Could be your wife. Could be your husband. And it's weird, because like, those people are closest to me, but okay, you need to have grace and peace with them, right? I'm going to tell you how God wants to help us to breathe. Some of you are here today and you're like, man, I just want to breathe, Joe. I just want to breathe. I want to be able to let go of things. I don't know how to. you know, people have said things to me, and I'm just so hurt by that. And it just, I feel like it just is inside of me, and I feel so constricted, and I just want to breathe today. And so we're going to talk about that. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, oh, it's so good that you are systematic, Lord. You've placed these systems in our lives, even in our own body, that you want us to reflect with each other. God, I can breathe in what's good, and I can exhale what's bad, and I can breathe in and take in what's good from you and from this world, and I can exhale what's bad, God. And I pray that you would just allow us to be able to do that this morning. God, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and that you would be glorified this morning in my words. I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that you would give us the gift of grace and peace this morning. And we're ready to receive from you, God, and I expect that you will be here in the midst of us and you're going to be working in people's hearts, and I thank you ahead of time for what you're doing. In my prayer, amen. So, you know, it's interesting. We've been going through the Gospel of Matthew here at Eastside, and we're following Jesus, and we're following what he says, and Jesus is he's our example. He's the perfect example of everything that we need to be. And he's talking about his kingdom. And if we can understand his kingdom a little bit, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are identified as a part of the kingdom of God. Okay, you're part of his people here, and you have his tag on you. And Paul and Peter said, as a part of his kingdom, you need to have more and more grace and peace. And so he's illustrating that to us. And how many times do you feel like Jesus talked about grace? Because it's super important, you know what I mean? Like if Paul and Peter are going to be writing about it all the time, how many times did Jesus talk about grace with his disciples and in his sermons? How many of you guys would think maybe this key issue 30 times? Maybe 30 times in the New Testament? Anybody? Okay, 30, 40, 50. Okay, some of you guys are giving me the sympathy hand raises here. He didn't talk about it at all. He didn't talk about it at all. And I'm not saying that Jesus wouldn't ever give grace, because obviously he did. He showed us what grace was. He was the ultimate example of grace. It's not because he was against it. It's because he walked the walk. You know what I'm saying? Like he was so full of grace. He was so sold out on the idea of grace that it was who he was. You know, it was the very fibers of his being, and he'd never had waves of grace. Grace didn't come in waves, and peace didn't come in waves with God, with Jesus when he was here, because it was a part of him. It was the center of who he was, and he even took this to the cross with him. And we're gonna talk about that. You pull up Luke 23:34. Jesus is on the cross. And he's being crucified. He's being killed. They're killing the Son of Man, the Lord and the Savior of all the earth. And Jesus looks at them. And let's read this together. Say it with me. Ready? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And I want to tell you a way that you can save some stress in your life, and you can grasp onto the same grace and peace that Jesus had in this moment. And here it is. Even though they're killing the Son of Man, God decides to look at the big picture, and he says, you know what? I know what they're doing, but they don't know what they're doing. Here's your grace tip. Grace tip number one. Don't assume the worst about someone. Assume the best about them. Amen? Man, that's just going to be so much better. Have you ever been in a situation where you've said something or you've done something and you didn't mean it like that, but they're like, you know, like they're so offended by you, and you're like, no, please don't assume that I was trying to hurt you there. Please don't assume that I was trying to hurt you there. Have you ever stopped to think that maybe the people that hurt you the most, maybe the people that irritate you the most, maybe the people that are the most annoying in your life or that speak reckless words into your life or that it's just draining to be around them, maybe they don't know what they're doing. Maybe they don't know what they're doing. Maybe you can pray to God and say, God, will you give me a big picture mentality with this? Will you help me to see past the hurt that I'm feeling right now? Will you help me to see past the words that this person is saying to me right now? Because maybe, my mom is wonderful at this. She's talked about this since I was a kid, where I'd have an issue with someone, and she's like, you know, Joe, maybe there's something else going on. Or maybe there's something that happened in that person's past that makes them act that way. You know, am I saying that it's okay? No, absolutely not. Was it hurtful? Yeah, it was. And I'm not discounting that, but maybe there's a big picture mentality that you can ask God to reveal to you, or maybe just give you peace in the middle of that. You know what I'm saying? Yes, absolutely. It's in our nature to hurt people. Hurt people, hurt people. That's what my mom says. And some people, it's in their nature more than others. You know what I mean? Like, and you guys know who that is. Not naming any names, but they might even be in this room with you, and you're like, man, this person just hurts me all the time, and it's hard, and I don't know how to grasp the grace and peace that God wants to give me through this. We need to take a stance of grace as people in the kingdom of God. You need to take a stance of grace. That means, like, it's just like when you take a stance and you're ready to fight. You're in the mood, you're in the zone, you've got the atmosphere around you, you're in a stance, and I want you to take a stance of grace today. I want you to learn how to do that. I want us to be able to learn how to do that together, where you surround yourself with an atmosphere where someone throws something at you, and it's like, grace, peace be with you. Because you might have someone in your life who are like, man, give me a break, please give me a break. They're always on your case. It's exhausting. Go ahead and tap the person next to you and say, you're that person. No, seriously, tap them. Say, hey, that's you. Joe's talking about you right now. People in the back, tap someone. Say, that's you. You're the difficult person. You're the difficult person. Raise your hand if you have a difficult person in your life. Go ahead, everyone in the room, raise your hand. I have a difficult person in my life, Joe. Keep your hand up if that person is in the room today. Just kidding. Go ahead and put your hands down. You know what? It's funny. It's funny when we think about that, because I was talking to my dad and he said that. He said, grace and peace tip number two, realize that you are somebody's difficult person. Realize that that is you. That when I said, raise your hand if you have a difficult person in your life, and they're like, oh yeah. Raise your hand that knowing that someone in the room was thinking about you. Someone in the room was thinking about you when I said that. That you're irritating. And I'm like, Joe, no, I'm not irritating. And I'm a Christian. You know, Pastor Dan was talking a while ago. He was talking about the different kinds of soil. And he's like, what kind of soil are you? Are you fertile soil? You have good soil for God to plant his seeds into? You have shallow soil where it just kind of sprouts up and then it dies out? You have weeds growing in your life? And his point was, don't assume that because you love Jesus and because he's saved you and he's shown you his grace that you're the fertile soil. Don't assume that. So don't assume that just because you're a Christian and because you love the Lord and you do good things for him and you pray to him that you're not a difficult person to be around, because you are. And so am I. So there is someone who thinks that I'm difficult. Heather probably thought I was being a difficult person when I was like, let's just have pizza instead of go out to eat. It's kind of a silly example, but we're going to talk a little bit about a person that was difficult. It's in Matthew 18. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to bring your Bibles so that we can learn about the Word of God together and read it. I believe that when you speak the Word of God over you, that there's power in that. So get a copy if you want. If you'd like a copy, there's some out there. But this is Matthew 18, 23, and Jesus is talking. And you know, when he's talking about his kingdom and all these parables, so he's not just telling you a good story, right? He wants you to understand this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is what my dad is like. this is what I'm like, and this is what's expected out of you as part of our kingdom. And so I'm going to read to you. You can go ahead and follow along on the screen. You can follow along in your Bible. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in and owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything that he owned, to pay the debt. But the man fell before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to his fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars and he grabbed him by the throat. Say, he grabbed him by the throat. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged him for a little more time, be patient with me, and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset at what had happened. And then they called. I lost my spot. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you a tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on a fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. This is what our Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Whew, heavy, you know what I mean? This is what God's going to do to you. You're going to prison to be tortured. And if you want to hear a message about that, Dan's going to talk about that in a couple months. So we'll dive into that. But, you know, that's the word of the Lord. And I had you say something in there. He grabbed him by the throat. And Jesus is talking, and he's talking to Peter. And Peter's like, so, God, Jesus, as a part of your kingdom, exactly how much grace do I need to give? Exactly how many times do I need to forgive somebody? And this is what God says. He says, you've been forgiven a tremendous debt, Peter. You've been forgiven a tremendous debt, and now you're going to your friend who owes you nothing, and you're choking him. You're choking him because you won't forgive him, because you won't let it go, because you won't have grace. Man, I've given you so much grace. And now you're choking someone. Now here is a... Jesus wants you to understand, listen, what flows to you needs to be flowing out of you, Peter. I've given you grace. You need to show grace. And listen, this is how it applies to your life right now. So don't miss this. You had a debt, right? You have a debt that you need to pay because you are sinful and you've fallen short of God's glory. And this is how big your debt is. Your debt is so big that, like in the story, it's too big for you and it's too big for your family and it's too big for your wife and it's too big for your kids. It's too big for your coworkers. It's just too big for you. And it's going to take you down, and you deserve to go to prison, and you deserve to be gone, and you deserve to be out of the king's presence for the rest of your life. Do you understand that that's what our sin is? That's what separates us from God. And he said, your debt was so big, and it's gone now. I'm forgiving you. Like, overwhelming, amazing grace in your life. And then his servant goes, and he's like, I just experienced amazing grace. Give me my money. God told us in Colossians 3:13 to make allowance for each other's faults, to forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you need to forgive other people. Here's a question for you. Who are you choking? Don't assume that just because you love the Lord that you're not the difficult person. Don't assume that because you love Jesus that you're still not holding on to anything. You're the most free, gracious, peace-loving person in the room, because I'm not. But here's your question. Who are you choking? Who are you choking in your life today? Are you choking your kids? Parents, that's crazy to think about, but how do you deal with your kids when they're annoying you? You snap at them? Stop that. You're not actually doing that with your hands. I hope you don't do that. We might have a problem. But like, how do you react to the person at work that annoys you? How do you react when one of your closest friends speaks recklessly and says something that hurts you? You want to get back at them? You know, God has created a system inside of us where we breathe in what's good and we exhale what's bad. And when we don't allow God's grace to be the center of who we are, we disrupt that process in our own life. We disrupt that process because we're not forgiving. We're holding on. We're still choking. Are you a person that's easily offended? Are you easily offended? Here's another thing. Just because you're in the kingdom of God doesn't mean you're easily offended. Maybe you are. Or here's your knee-jerk. Is your knee-jerk reaction to give grace, or is it to be offended? Here's an example. Someone, you're scheduled to meet with someone, and they cancel at the last minute. Anyone been there? Has anyone been there? You're supposed to meet with someone. They cancel at the last minute. What's your first reaction? Like, right away, your very nature is your first reaction. I can't believe that. How disrespectful. I'm picking up my toys and I'm leaving the sandbox. Like, they're not even my friend anymore. We're friends on Facebook, but they know we're not friends anymore. They know I'm mad at them. I can't believe they would do that. I'm unfriending them. I'm leaving. Or maybe someone said they'd call you back. This person said they'd call you back, and they didn't. They didn't call you back. Is your first reaction, well, obviously they care about our relationship. Well, stinks to be me right now. Like, no one cares, or obviously I'm not important enough for them to call me back, or they probably found something more important to do. Maybe they did find something that was more important. Maybe something came up. Or is your reaction to give them grace for that, to say, you know what, there's a lot of really great things about this person, and maybe calling people back isn't their biggest strength. And God, I thank you that this is a really good friend of mine. And I'll just shoot him a text later. I'll shoot him a call. Maybe they got busy. Maybe their mom called. Or maybe someone forgot your birthday. Frank, this is the one day out of the year you need to remember, and you forgot it. And you're like, oh, shoot. You need some serious grace there. But maybe Frank had a crazy week last week. You know what I'm saying? Like, he remembered it the entire year, and then it just slipped his mind. Are you gonna give him some grace there? Are you gonna give him some grace, or are you gonna say, like, I can't believe you. I can't believe you would forget that. You know, and it's weird because we might just say, that's just the obvious, Joe, you know? That's just the obvious. I'm just saying, how could you forget? But do you realize that the words that you're saying are choking? Do you realize that you're not showing the grace that you need to show there? You know, when we have a difficult time with people, we pray. And Lauren, if you could throw Matthew 6, 9 through 13 on the screen here. This is called the Lord's Prayer. And I'm gonna read, this is the New Living Translation. And so some of you guys who might have grown up in the Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, or however, maybe your parents taught you, be like, Joe, that's not how it goes, but it's the same prayer, different translation. I'm gonna read it to you. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. We're big on that at Eastside. We're ready for God's kingdom. Amen. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food that we need. And forgive us our sins. As yield not to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I was doing my talk for Heather, and Heather's like, oh, Joe, it's forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And I was like, I did that on purpose. Because I don't know about you, but I know what that line means. And it's heavy. It's heavy. It doesn't say, God, forgive me because you've forgiven everybody else too. It doesn't say, God, forgive me because I try to forgive people too. It says, forgive me as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And what it's really saying is, God, I want you to handle me the same way I handle the people in my life who hurt me. God, I want you to show me the same grace that I show in my life to the people that annoy me. God, I want you to handle me the same way that I handle the annoying person at work. God, I want you to handle me the same way that I treat my kids when they bother me, when they're on my last nerve. That's how I want you to handle me, God. I want you to treat me the same way that I treat my wife when I'm disappointed. I want you to handle me the same way I treat my husband, my friends, my coworkers, the people I run into at the store, people who cut me off in traffic. That's how I want you to handle me, God. And that's it's interesting because here's our grace and peace tip number 3. Do I want God to deal with me the same way that I deal with the people that bother me? And when we pray that prayer, and I encourage you to do that, God, forgive me like I forgive the people who bother me and who sin against me. Because, man, I try so hard, and I want you to just make that the core of who I am. And Galatians says it's not me that lives anymore, it's Christ who lives in me, and I know that Jesus was gracious to the very core of his being. Every word that came out of him was gracious, and he was peaceful, and that's what I want, Father. So forgive me like I forgive other people, because we need to take a stance of grace. Are you ready? Are you ready for when that happens? Joe, are you saying that when someone hurts me, that no matter what they do, it's all good? You know, so someone does something that offends me, like someone punches my mom, like, it's all good, bro, grace and peace, you got it. Or someone says, hey, man, you're stupid, or they make me feel stupid, or they do something that embarrasses me, like, man, yeah, totally, it's all good, keep it coming, I'm the peacemaker, I'm the grace man, you know? No, I'm not saying that, because grace is how you handle things. I'm saying handle conflict. Someone says something to you, you say, like, man, I know you probably didn't mean this to hurt me, but it kind of hurt me, and can we talk about it a little bit? And you might be sitting here thinking, Joe, you don't know what happened to me when I was 12. You don't know. Joe, you don't know what this person said to me. It cut so deep. Joe, you don't know what my life is like. And I don't know what your life is like. But you know, God wants you, he wants you to have overwhelming peace because you've been forgiven a debt this tremendous. It's too big for you. It's too big for you. It's too big for your wife. It's too big for your family. It's too big for your kids. It's too big for your coworkers. And God has totally laid it out. So what's our action steps? How can we apply this to our lives? How do we take a stance of grace in our life? And there's a pastor that Heather and I like to listen to. He's from a church in South Carolina called Elevation Church. His name is Stephen Furtick. And he had a YouTube video on how he starts his day but what he does before he speaks. And so about a month or a month and a half ago, I decided that this is something that I wanted to try too. And so this is what it is. This is what it is. This is how I start my day. And I would love for you guys to maybe try it out yourself, because this is how we can start making a stance of grace in our life, to be ready to create an atmosphere of grace. And so what he does, he starts on his knees. And so I'll start on my knees in the beginning of the day. And I'm like, God, man, I just want you to live inside of me. I want you to live inside of me. And I want you to shape me into the man that you want me to be. And I want you to make me more like Jesus, Father. And then I'll touch my feet and say, God, just like it says in Ephesians 6:15, that I have the shoes of peace, the gospel of peace goes with me, God. The gospel of peace goes with me wherever I go. I'm covered in your peace. I'm covered in your love, and I'm going to walk in that, Lord. And I thank you that you've not placed a spirit of fear inside of me as I touch my side. I thank you that I don't have a spirit of fear inside of me, but of power and of love and a sound mind, God. I thank you that I can be gracious today. God, I thank you that from my heart flow all the issues of life, like it says in Proverbs 4. Thank you, from my heart flow all the issues of life, and I pray that you would help me to protect my heart, that you'd allow me to be gracious and peaceful today. God, I thank you that you're renewing a loyal spirit inside of me. God, I thank you that your ways are higher than my ways and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts, like it says in Isaiah 55. God, thank you that you're going to put me in tune with how you think. God, I thank you that I have ears to hear your voice, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. It says that in John 10:4. God, I thank you that I have eyes to see every prophetic opportunity that you're going to put in my life. God, I thank you that you don't see people the same way I do. God, I pray that you would open my eyes to be able to see people the way that you do, God. You don't look at the outside. You don't look at the words that come spouting out of people's mouths, God. You look at their heart. Help me to see people the way you do. God, I thank you that when I speak your words, Lord, that they bring life and they loosen things in my life. They loosen strongholds and things that bond me, Father. I thank you that when I speak your words, just like the rain and the snow cover the earth, God, I thank you that they always produce fruit and they produce grain and they produce a harvest, God. I thank you that when I speak your words of life into my life and the people around me, that they're going to produce fruit in my life. God, turn me into a gracious and peaceful man today. And what you've done is you have invigorated your spirit by speaking scripture into your life, and you've calibrated your heart, and you're ready. So here's a couple questions. One, what do you need to let go of in your life? What do you need to let go of? What do you need to let go of that someone said this to you, and you're like, okay, it's done. It's done. Someone did this to you and it's done. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive in your life to say, you know what? Like God's grace is so much bigger. The band can start coming up right now. Who do you need to forgive in your life? Who are you holding something against? They might not even know it. Maybe this is a person that's not even around anymore. Maybe they passed away already and you're still mad and you're still angry. And you're still coming against them with your thoughts. And lastly, who are you choking? Who am I choking in my life? You know, because we're part of God's kingdom. You know, and he wants to identify us with his grace and peace. Peter and Paul said, may grace and peace be with you more and more. May they become part of your identity. That when people think of you, they think grace and they think peace. Who are you choking? And this is a question that we can ask ourselves later today. You can ask yourself this tonight. You can ask yourself this tomorrow. You can talk about this with your wife. You can talk about this with your kids. Who do I need to let go of? Who do we need to forgive? Because if we're going to be gracious, if we're going to be peaceful, then we need to be able to let it go. We can't be choking people. You're just wondering, how much grace do I have to give? How many times do I have to forgive people? He said, over and over and over and over and over again. Have grace with your kids. Have grace with your wife. Have grace with your husband. Have grace and peace with your coworkers. Have grace and peace with the people who are on the road, who are cutting you off. God, I thank you. God, I thank you so much for your grace. I thank you so much for your peace, God. I thank you that when we can understand the grace of Jesus Christ and the cross and the sacrifice for us, I thank you that we can allow that to come into our own relationships. That we can, when we understand that vertical expression of grace and peace, God, that affects our horizontal relationships with each other, Father. God, I pray that you would forgive me as I forgive people who sin against me, and that we would be able to pray that together as a church. God, forgive me as I forgive people who sin against me, and that you would let us breathe, and that we would breathe this morning, God, that we would be able to breathe in the good things that you have for us, and to be able to exhale the bad things and be able to finally let it go and breathe. Thank you that your love is strong for us, God. Amen. name I pray. Amen.